Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's Word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the Word with us.
Thank you for being in church today. Palm Sunday, as Rachel was talking about, is just a great, great Sunday to celebrate Jesus. Like there's not a great Sunday to celebrate Jesus, but Palm Sunday is a great one. I remember being in Israel. Michelle and I were on the Via Dolorosa, the road that Jesus was on, and we were there with a Cajun guy, and he was like, Via Dolorosa, baby. I mean, he was having so much fun just knowing that we have a great life because Jesus took our sins, took our pain, and he knew where he was headed when he was down that road. But what he was doing, he was celebrating Jesus, and he was saying that, and then he'd just start weeping at how good the Lord has been to him. And so I just remember that. That was a great, great day in my life, being right where Jesus was. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, it's a great trip, and right now is a good time to go. So, yeah. Talking about our trip to Israel, I started preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and I want to continue on that this morning. I think it's really important to know that Jesus is talking to us in this sermon about what it looks like to be in the kingdom of God, what it looks like to be a Christian. Melanie last week was talking about the importance of the kingdom of God and us living in it. His will, not our will, his will. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's not the will of people. The kingdom of God is about a king and his will, the king's will. And just, she did a great job teaching on that last week. One of the most important teachings of Jesus in all of Scripture, the longest in all of Scripture, is how we as his people live in his kingdom according to his will. Right. How we should conduct ourselves, how we ought to be different than the culture, how we live and what we focus on as kingdom thinkers. Jesus is explaining to us, his followers, how to do that. The Beatitudes says, here's what you do and how you live if you want the blessing on your life. We got God's people wanting the blessing all according to what they think the blessing is, and God outlines what the blessing is. Yeah. He says, this is the blessing. People were so taken back by the words of Jesus. It was so different than the culture that they were in and how they thought. And really, today, it's no different. When I teach the Beatitudes, it's no different. It totally contradicts what culture would tell you, you need to act this way to be blessed. I want you to hear today, there's going to be some things said that will challenge what culture has taught you. And you've got to know that if you're going to be challenged, then you've got to make a decision with that challenge. What am I going to do with that? With that challenge, am I going to just say, well, I don't know that I believe that? Well, Jesus was the one saying this, not me. And so as you're challenged, you have a choice to make to do things and do life the way Jesus outlined it, or to say, I'm not really interested. You know, people from all over the world, different religious leaders, have studied the Sermon on the Mount because it was so profound, and they have recognized that the words of Jesus were really, really good. They really, really had something to say, and they affected the lives of his followers. Come on, if we're going to be his followers, then these should affect our life. Right. They should change how we think from a world thinker to a kingdom thinker. Matthew 7, the end of the sermon, verses 28, 29. When Jesus had finished his preaching or saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. And they still are. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. My prayer is, when we finish studying the Sermon on the Mount, we'll have the same response. That we'll be convicted in areas, we'll be challenged in areas, and come on, we can change in areas. When you hear the Word of God, it's okay to be convicted. It really is. It's okay to be convicted. When you hear the Word of God, it's okay to be challenged, and it is okay to change. We've got to know that. So I want, before we even get started with this teaching again today, I want you just to bow your heads with me. And I want you to ask the Lord, God, today, would you convict me of areas? Would you just, you talk to him about it. God, would you convict me of areas in my life that I need to be convicted about? God, today, would you challenge me in areas that I need to be challenged? God, today, as I'm convicted and I'm challenged, Lord, will you help me as I make a decision today to change? Because ultimately, that's what your word has done in my life. It's changed me. And it will continue to change me. In Jesus' name, amen. The Beatitudes in chapter 5, verse 3, Jesus is redefining what it looks like to be blessed. I hope you got that. I want to read it as we start out the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, verses 3 through 10, chapter 5. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. When you realize your need for him, verse 4, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I want to teach on all of these so bad, but I already did, so go back and listen to the sermon. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So counterculture, here's how you're blessed. It's not what culture teaches. Come on, you're living out these values and walking in what he taught you to walk in. And so this week, this sermon today, we want to see what Jesus said about how we, as we walk these out, would be identified. Exactly. How are we identified? When we walk blessed, I'm telling you, when you walk blessed, not according to world standards, right. But when you walk in the room, are you identified as blessed? And they don't even know why. Or are they only seeing you blessed from a world standard, or are they seeing you from a kingdom standard? How are we seen? We've got to answer this today. What do people see when we live these out? This is what is called our identity. Now, I'm talking about today salt and light, because this is the next part of the Sermon on the Mount. But what salt and light is, it's your identity as a kingdom person, as a kingdom citizen. This is our identity. Identity is such a hot topic in culture today. And really, it's not just today, it always has been. People have always been searching for their identity because people are trying to find out who they are and why they are here. It's important. I don't know if anybody did this, so I'm just sharing my personal testimony, but I remember as a teenager lying in bed saying, why am I here? Why am I even here? What? Thank you for nodding your heads, a few of you. What am I supposed to do in life? And I started asking all of these questions. I remember asking them like it was yesterday. And I used to think I was the only one who thought that. Everybody else knows why they're here. I've met them. They know. Obviously, they know. I'd see older people. They're just so confident. They know why they're here. And I remember it just wreaking havoc upon my brain. I want you to hear this. Your identity determines everything else in your life.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Your identity determines your values. Your identity determines your relationships, who you associate yourself with, your self-worth, how you see yourself, and your identity will shape your worldview. And here's what I want you to know. You need to know that because the enemy knows that. And if he can attack you and get you to question who you are and why you are here, he can mess up your God-given identity. And I watch it happen all the time. He attacks God's people because he makes them question why they're here and who they are. He attacks them. And we have people that are looking all the time to find out who they are and why they are here. I mean, they'll look to the stars to find that out. Look into astrology to define them. Well, I'm a Gemini and I need to marry a Scorpio. Well, who told you that? I can tell you who did. Witchcraft, the enemy. See, he wants you looking in that area, reading your horoscope. And here's the deal. I have no idea if a Gemini and Scorpio are supposed to be together. I don't read that stuff and I'm careless. I'm not getting in it. I mean, I passed the palm reader on Highway 76 in Branson, and I mean, I'm like, whoo, I ain't going in there. Something might attach itself to me. And I'm serious. See, I don't want to mess with something to get who I am, where I am supposed to be going, what I'm doing. I'm not getting that from another source. But the enemy's trying to get people to do it. And hear what I'm telling you, it bleeds into the church world. I've seen it. Because people are so hungry to find out who they are and why they're here. That's a big deal. We have people studying, this is a big deal in the church for years, and taking every psychological test known to man to figure out their personality and who they are and who they would fit best with. I can just tell you, I would not be married to her had I taken a psychology test before I got married. We're day and night different. And so I found that out, that we're day and night different. And what am I supposed to do? Well, you need to get a divorce and find somebody who you really can match with. Man. You just better be careful about the psychology test. Because when that starts telling you who you are and what you're supposed to do, you better watch it. Now, I'm not saying there are not different makeups, but don't look to that as your identity, because your identity is to be found in Christ. Well, which one is he? All of them. So you find out which one you are and you get stuck in that and just say, that's who I am. Well, then you quit following Jesus. We got some looking to the government to tell them who they are. Now, I know that's no one in here. But we have people looking every place they can to find out who they are. They look to different gender groups. Maybe I'm not the gender that I was born in. I mean, so which one do I identify? Come on, that's the term they'll use. Which one do you identify the most with? If you're looking to find out what you identify the most with, based on culture, you're going to be in trouble quickly. You're going to be in a lot of trouble because you say you're a kingdom follower, yet you're using words that the world uses to choose identity. Jesus is teaching on this topic right here. Here is who you are, he's saying. Here's who you are. He is speaking into the new identity as kingdom citizens because Jesus knows this, and I want you to know it. Their identity determines their functionality. Your identity will determine your functionality, your use, your purpose, how to function, how to live in this life. Because who you think you are, who you think you are determines what you will do. When you think you are something, then that something will make the determination on what you do. If you don't know who you are, you'll try to be everything to everybody, trying to make everybody happy. Jesus didn't make a lot of people happy. Well, you need to be like Jesus. I got that. If you don't know your identity, you'll always struggle with your priorities and your purpose in life. And you'll lose influence because you don't know your purpose. Yeah. I'm just trying to find my purpose. Well, listen to this message because Jesus will tell you that. If you're laying awake at night trying to say, who am I? I wish I would have heard this when I was 16, 17 years old. Who am I? What am I supposed to do? Today is for you because Jesus told you who you are and what you're supposed to do. In a world that tells you you can choose your purpose and you do whatever you want to do, it's no wonder that we have parents telling their kids, "You come on, honey, you can do whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be." And we wonder why kids are so confused and why they're struggling with identity. We're feeding into this junk. Now hear me today. While it is true in the world you can choose identity, that's not true in the kingdom. That is a democratic. No, I won't go there. Democracy, that's a thought that is the will of people. And I want to know the will of the king. Because I'm a kingdom liver. I want to live according to kingdom thinking. So as parents telling your kids, don't tell them that their identity will come from a world way of thinking. Tell them how Jesus said their identity should come. When you get into the kingdom of God, your priority has already been chosen for you. Now I've got your attention. Well, what's the priority? The kingdom. So anytime you're making a priority list of what you need to do, you need to make sure the kingdom is at play. How does this affect the kingdom? The purpose in the kingdom. Ephesians 2:10. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, well, let me just give you some scripture to back it up. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we could do good things He planned for us long ago. Who did the planning here? God did. So you need to be talking to God about what you're doing because He planned some things for you to do long ago. So therefore, I can find my purpose. Jesus is speaking into all of this right here. Your identity, your purpose is to fulfill His purpose. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. It's just that easy. It really is. Jesus is speaking into our lives. And all in one sermon, Jesus is coming out with the Beatitudes. He's saying, if you'll live these values, and by the end of it, you got to know by living these values, persecution's coming. Look forward to it. I just get tired of everybody on my case. Well, Christianity may not be for you. No, it's for you. But if you're going to live according to your will, and the kingdom of God's about His will, then you've got to get to a place of knowing that the values I live by are not based on my feelings, not based on me, it's based on Him. See, my identity is different. He says you'll be persecuted if you live these values. Why? Because your identity is different than the world's standard. Your identity and purpose will be seen by others, and you've got to know many won't like it. And they'll try to use scripture or Bible verses to tell you you're wrong, yet they're living by none of them. They're going to pull one out and try to attack you with it. Wait a minute here. You've got to get the heart of the whole sermon. And Jesus preached the whole sermon. So here's the Beatitudes, and then He goes into verse 13 in Matthew 5. Here's your identity. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Jesus says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let's talk about this. You are the salt of the earth. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say you should be the salt of the earth. It doesn't say it's a good idea to be the salt of the earth. No, it says you are. Now, here's the thing. I know a lot of people who love salt. I'm talking about salt, real salt. I mean, I know people who love salt so much that before they even taste their food, it can't get hurt just to throw a little more on. Let's just put a little more salt on, because salt will make anything better, right? It just adds flavor. And so when we read this, we think, well, yeah, I get that. That's what Christians do. They add flavor to the situation. They come in. Boy, they're just the salt of the party. I mean, they're here and the flavor is there and everything's good because they're a part of it. And we have Christians that's the way they see that. And I want you to know Jesus does want you to add flavor. But he wants you to add kingdom flavor, right? Not culture flavor. But salt is more than just flavor. Let me tell you what else salt was and what they actually received it as. They received it as a preservative that had great value. It preserved things. It had great value. It was expensive. No refrigeration was available during that time. So salt would preserve, and it would do this. Listen, it would slow the decay of whatever it was put on. It would slow the decay down and keep its value. That's what salt would do. The word salary that we use all the time comes from the word salarium, which was a way that the Roman soldiers were paid. And do you know that they even used salt as a form of payment back then? Kind of a cool thought. Jesus was saying, hey, you're the salt. You and I, we're the salt. In other words, the world is decaying, morality is decaying, virtue is decaying, holiness is decaying, and you've been put here to be the salt. That slows the decay of what's going on in the world, and it preserves righteousness. That's what it does. Our purpose is to preserve Christian morality and slow the decay that's going on here on the earth. That's who we are. So I'm going to ask you today, is that who you are? Jesus said that's who you are. You are the salt. And we are to be slowing the decay of humanity. I'm telling you, decay is there everywhere. It's there. The world is being eroded. It's being stripped out of God thinking. And we're here to slow that down and preserve righteousness. Well, this is deeper than what a lot of people, well, yeah, I'm the salt and light. I get that. But you got to hear what he's saying. The world is coming after our children and is trying to rob them of their innocence. We are to preserve our children's innocence. That's why I'm thrilled we have some kingdom fighters who are taking some of the library books that our libraries are saying, okay, you can have that in here. That's nothing but complete against the moral fiber of what's going on in our culture. We've got to fight. What's God's people doing? They're the salt and light. We slow the decay down. We stop the infection. We are seeing sexual immorality running rampant in our society. What are you doing with that? What it means is that wherever I go, I live these values, I champion these values, because without salt, there's no preservative. And I need to preserve, and I need the decay slowed down so that we can still have some godly influence in our kids' lives. Come on, I want I want a godly marriage. This should be your testimony. I want a godly marriage. I want godly children. I want a godly family. I've got to be living my identity of salt and not let sin in and corrupt. I see people bitter and angry all the time. I see it, and then I'm like, oh man, what am I going to do about it? Well, if you're jumping in and getting bitter and angry with them, then you ain't got the salt attitude. Salt changes the bitter and angriness. And if not, it rejects, and I don't want to be around salt. I don't want that flavor. I don't want to slow this down. We slow down bitterness, we slow down anger, and we preserve a right attitude. Come on, in public workplaces, I go to work with biblical values and ethics, and I live them out. I elect leaders who are slowing down the decay. Well, I'm not even voting. I'm voting because I believe that there are people that are needed in every voted office that will be slowing the decay down, and I want to vote for the one whose identity is salt and light. It's important. For our school boards, praise God. We got an elected school board official in this congregation because of last Tuesday's vote. Yeah. Congratulations, Zach. Yeah. And Teddy, if he's here. I don't know if he's here, but praise God. We got people who love God, who are going to be salt and light sitting on that, and they're going to say, wait, that's not a kingdom response. We're not okay with that in our schools. We want to change the schools, you change the elected officials. Well, there's just none good to vote for. Well, why aren't you running then? In public workspaces, we've got to live biblical values and ethics. Jesus is saying, hey, this is now who you are. Let's act like we are His. It's not just something you do, it's who you are. Come on, it's not just something you do. Christianity is not just something to try on and, well, just do. No, it's who you are. He's speaking a new identity into each of us. How many know you don't have to look very far to see a decaying world around us? You just don't. Turn the television on. You just don't. Well, don't, but if you do. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't rub salt in a wound? I don't know. I just kind of one of those guys who like to know where phrases come from. When I'm talking about salt, that entered my mind, and I thought, I better look this up. Where did this come from? Well, people in that day would rub salt in a wound, and it would act as an antiseptic to keep infection from setting in. Boy, it even goes deeper here. Jesus is saying, you are here to be an antiseptic to keep sin from destroying people. You get in the wound of society. Why? To keep sin from destroying society. That's what we do. That's what we do. You know what? Salt in a wound stings. I know. I was raised in that generation that you got one and they just come in and the old Mortons would be turned upside down and poured right on it. Anybody ever pour salt in a wound? It stinks. Okay, well, two of us have had that happen. Well, what I can tell you, it stings and heals at the same time. Know this, the truth of God stings and heals at the same time. Salt stings and heals. That's why we speak the truth in love, because it's meant to heal. And yes, it'll sting, and some people are like, oh, I've got to wash this off, I'm not doing that. Sometimes the sting will wake them up a little bit. It's hard to argue with the truth. Unless you're trying to come about it from a world standard, but we're coming at it from a kingdom standard. Have you ever heard of smelling salts? What do you do with smelling salts? Someone's out of it, you're trying to get them to think right or to wake up, and you put that in their sniffer and it wakes them up like that. It provokes them to life again. Jesus is saying, that's who you are. Why are we putting this in some of the world's sniffers? More than that, why aren't we putting it in our own? Come on, you're a Christian, and maybe you need to take a smell of some smelling salts and let life be different. You're the salt. Maybe the world around us, maybe some of God's people around us needs to be provoked to action. Our life may be a little agitating to the world around us, not because we're being rude or ugly, but because of the righteousness and the holiness that we're living in. It wakes people up to think something's got to change inside of me, or they have to reject it. And so you'll either reject the truth or you let it change you. One of the two. See, what's today there are people going, wait, am I that? Am I that? Am I that? Because as we prayed at the beginning, God, would you convict me? Would you challenge me? God, today there's some things that I may need to change on. And if that's the case, maybe you're sitting there today thinking, hey, you know what's going on in my world? Am I being this? Am I being salt to people? Or is right now what I'm hearing from Pastor kind of stinging a little bit? Because the word of God will sting, and Jesus is saying this, and it's making people go, wait, I've got to be that. He says, this is who you are. You are the salt of the earth. And then he goes on to say, but what good is salt? What good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. What is no longer useful is thrown out. Okay, I was thinking about salt and salt today. And I was just thinking, you know, salt today can be in a cabinet for years upon years upon years and it never loses its flavor. I don't know if you've ever questioned that verse. Well, how does salt lose its flavor? It never loses its flavor. And so as I thought about that, I thought, actually, that's a great question. You ought to find out. So maybe you're thinking that today, and here's what I want you to know. Something that we need to know is during Jesus' day, sodium chloride was not in salt. And the sodium chloride is what keeps it from losing its flavor. So how would something lose its flavor? Well, they understood that when Jesus was talking because they knew the value of salt. Today, it's everywhere. And we use it all the time. We don't see it as valuable. But you're looking at a commodity in that day and time that was very valuable, and they knew all about it. Why? Because it was valuable. It was expensive. So here's what was being said. See, something that would lose its flavor, they understood the only way that would happen is if it was polluted. It wasn't used. See, if something from the outside would get mixed with it, it would lose its flavor and it would lose its potency. What Jesus was saying, if you are compromised, you might as well be thrown out. When your life doesn't match the word, you lose the ability to bring flavor. You lose the ability to preserve. Come on, are you getting this? You lose the ability to slow decay. And I'm not saying that's anyone here. The Holy Spirit will have to tell you that. But showing up on Sunday and acting one way and living totally different Monday through Saturday is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. That cannot be his people. Those people would be thrown out. See, living a life of continual compromise. Our social media page looks like everyone else in the world, and we promote what everyone else is promoting. We show up to work and we talk just like everyone else. See, you're losing your ability to be an influence. You're losing your ability to bring flavor, God's flavor. You're losing your ability to preserve. And you're for sure not slowing the decay. You're just jumping right on in on it. Now, these are strong words, but these are what Jesus spoke. And they understood them. And the result is you get trampled on by the world. You know, this story in the Gospels is also repeated in Luke 14. And I want to read what Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 34. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor the manure pile. It's thrown away. And here's what he's saying. When you compromise the life of Christianity, you're no good for growing kingdom things. You're no good for the world either. You're just thrown out. And see, when you're looked as double-minded, the world doesn't want you because they think you're judging them all the time. You're not bringing the truth in love, and you're not standing on what you already say you believe in. So the world don't want you. And what God's saying is, if you're compromised, you're not salt. You're not what God's called you to be. We're supposed to be salt for our family, for our social media page, for our job, for your school, for others' families where your kids go to school, for other families you're doing life with. And then he goes on in verse 14 and he says, okay, you're salt. And then he says, you're light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You and I are supposed to be salt, but we're also to be light. See, that tells you that when you're in the world, there is darkness. And you are to be the light. Guess what happens when you are in dark and there's a light? Your eyes are drawn to it. You see. You see. Light is necessary for sight. Kingdom of darkness is ruling and reigning. So what he is doing is he's establishing his kingdom here. Jesus is saying, my people bring light. We should reflect his light and should be visible to a dark world. We should illuminate his values. What he just preached should be in you, shining through you, because they see him in you. We provide light to an entire region. Here's what I really like. Like a city on a hill. What in the world does that mean? That means the church. I love this because when you get God's people defining culture, how do they define culture? Kingdom. That's how you define culture, is kingdom. And when God's people get together, the church, I'm not talking about just on Sunday. I'm talking about in all of life. When God's people get together and you start seeing God's people living life according to God's values and ways and blessings, all of a sudden you have this giant light illuminating everything, and people don't want the sin. They'll either run from the light or they'll run to it. They won't stay in the shadows because that's not a safe place for them. They might get exposed. God's people need to be the light. There's so much comfort in this. First Peter, be careful how you live so they can see your good works. Be careful how you live so that people can see your good works. I'm talking about this on Wednesday night in Hebrews 12. Be careful how you live because people are watching you. Well, I don't care what people think. Well, that's not a God thought. That's a world thought. Well, I care less what people think. That is not even nowhere in Scripture. You need to care what people think. Now, when they're thinking that you're all this because you're a God person, the fact is you are all this because you're a God person. You're all of this. What's this? Kingdom living. I'm not world living, so you're going to have persecution. I get that. But make sure that you understand you don't lose your care. I don't care what people think. I totally care what people think. But I'm not going to compromise kingdom living for what people think. I'm going to continue to live kingdom-minded, and I'm going to understand that I'm not going to be a covert Christian. There's no such thing as undercover Christianity. Maybe there's a light bulb for somebody. Well, I don't even want to tell anybody. People should not be surprised when they find out you're a Christian. I mean, that's a big deal. Nobody should be. If you cover your light, what happens to a light that you cover? You ever taken a candle and put the top back on it? It snuffs it out. You don't cover your Christianity. It's available for all the world to see. God will put his light on you. He will put you on a lampstand so everyone around you can see what's really going on. A lamp is placed on a stand. The light is placed there. And church, come on, you are the light. And you'll find that the more you start living out the light as your identity, the more God will place you in a position for more to see. And he doesn't place you in that position for more people to see you. He puts you in that position for more people to see him. You are his light. You're kind of like the moon. His light is what brightens the moon up. If anybody saw it last night at 8:12, its peak. Anybody else see that? The pink moon? It was orange to me, but it wasn't the moon, it was the sun. Right. It's God that illuminates us. Yeah. And so we live according to what he asked us to. See, God elevates those whose identity is in Christ, and not for you, but for him.
Right. Right.
Why am I even in this job right now? You're there to bring light. We got God's people. Why am I even here? Why am I doing this? Why am I? Because you're the salt and you're the light. Why am I even in this family? My family's just, I'm the one slowing the decay of immorality. Slowing that down. I don't want us to go to, I want to slow the decay of morality. I don't want to slow that down. No, I do want to. I want to slow it down. Well, you got to be salt. Well, I'm not saying anything. I'm just not saying anything. You're the salt. You're supposed to say something. God doesn't open doors for just you. You've got to know that. He opens doors for himself. And you're there to bring the spotlight on him, not you. We've got to know why we're here. You don't have to search your identity anymore. See, you found it in what Jesus said. So if you're laying in bed at night and you're like, who am I and what I'm supposed to do? Please don't go look at a astrology sign as who I am. Please don't read the next personality test. Take what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount and say, here's who I am. I'm the salt and I'm the light. Jesus defined exactly who I am, and I don't have to wonder about that. When I got that in my knowing, then my identity started to be able to be expanded. Why? Because I was glorifying and magnifying him. Everything we do, did you get this today, flows from your identity. Everything you do, today and every day, when you get up and probably several times during the day, you've got to start saying, and sometimes you just got to say it out loud, I am the salt. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I'm the salt. That'll help you. Well, I just don't know. I am the light. And God has put me on a lampstand, not to ever separate from the church, because the city on the hill will be the church that I'm associated with.
Yeah.
And I don't have time to get into all that to show it to you, but I can show it to you in Scripture time and time again. So in ending this sermon today, I'm going to ask you to ask yourself right now, am I slowing the decay from the world around me? Young people, ask that question, because you've been struggling with your identity. You can ask yourself this question, am I slowing the decay that's going on around me from the world that's around me in my situation? See, if I wasn't there, would it make a difference? Would anyone even know? I'm not trying to bring discredit to you. I'm trying to bring awareness. And as you're aware, you can go, you know what, I am. Or if you say, no, I'm not, then just make a change, because Jesus was telling everybody, well, I'm convicted, I'm challenged. Okay, so now I know that. Now it's going to make a difference in how I live. I'm going to make a difference wherever I'm at. The second question, am I lighting up the room wherever I am? Am I lighting up the room? Do people see kingdom thinking better when I'm somewhere? See, am I lighting up the room? Are they seeing the light of Jesus in me? Am I lighting up God's way of doing things when I'm around? Now, I can just tell you, when you are seen a lot, you're persecuted a lot. And most of the time, the persecution comes from those who want to say, I'm the illuminator. And I'm just telling you, you and I, we're not the illuminators. He is. So we bring light, but it's his light we bring. It's not about us, it's about him. And so we live kingdom-minded, not culture world-minded, and we change the culture, the world. That's why I love Christian Ministry Church. It's created its own culture. I hate it when people leave this culture. I hate it. Now, my prayer is if they do, they'll get into another one that's going to affect their lives just as much. What? Well, sometimes they leave because they're mad. Yeah, I know, and that was not God. God doesn't make you mad and cause you to leave. That's not what salt and light does. It changes the scenario where they're at. So stick it out till it gets a God way of thinking. See, that's just the way the kingdom of God works. Well, am I to leave this job? Not if you're not going to leave a salt and light.
That's right. Yeah.
Do I leave my family? Do I do this? Not if you're not going to leave a salt and light.
Yeah.
See, there's so much that people are leaving because they forgot their identity.
Yeah.
And your identity is salt and light. And God's not going to keep you in a place that he can't illuminate you. Now be careful not to misinterpret that. You've got to understand, it's God's way or the highway. In the kingdom of God. Now that's not to say we can't mess up, because we all mess up, but we run right back to the light every time. He shows us, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I realized that. Can I be in right standing? Yes, you already were. Jesus died for you. See, that's what happens.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.